continuing our series today on Out of This World. But first, I have some good news. Who likes good news? Yeah. Who likes out of this world news? Yeah. I am amazed at the testimonies that are coming in from the Aldi gift cards we gave out last week. What a fun thing. I've already gotten some testimonies. One came in that Nikki put it on Facebook, so I know she's okay with me saying her name. She felt prompted to give it to someone who was delivering something to her house, who works for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Is that what it's called? Special Wishes, sorry. And so anyway, she gave it to this lady who was delivering something to her for Colin, and when she just felt impressed to do it, so she did it, and the lady was blown away. She said, I just got in contact today or yesterday with a lady who's a single mom whose son needs a transplant, and the mom hasn't been able to work because she's spending all of her time with her son. Her daughter can't even live with them right now. She's living with the lady's sister, and she was just saying she's going to buy groceries this week. So the lady from Special Wish is going to take the gift card and stock her fridge with it and have some groceries this week. So that's a great testimony. Stephanie just shared a testimony with me right before service that she had her cards and she was like, okay, God, show me what to do with it. And she's driving down the road on a snowy day. Was it that Sunday? Was it last week? Yeah, on Sunday after church. And she saw this lady pushing a stroller with two children in the snow with groceries in her stroller. In the snow? Like, what? And so she's like, okay, I think she's the one. So she turned around, and then she was gone. She couldn't find her. And she basically tracked her down, because that's what Stephanie does. She's wonderful that way. And she found her as she was getting ready to go into her house. And she said, I'm not crazy. Merry Christmas. So if you have any God stories about your card that you shared or you received for yourself, please just share it with me. If it's your story, if you say, I didn't know how we were going to do it, and now, you know, this made it easier. I love your story as much as I love hearing someone, you bless someone else. So some of you know the scripture from Revelation that says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And here's what hit me this morning. The word of your testimony defeats the enemy for you, but it also defeats the enemy for me. Because your story gives you strength and your story gives me strength. So share the heck out of your story. Really, share your story because it builds you up and it builds everyone up that hears your story. Just keep sharing those stories. Also, cool thing, Stephanie approached the organization down here. What's it called? Jet Aviation. Told them what we were doing for Jones Road Treatment Center. They're like, we want in. So they're going to add to our donations on Tuesday. Like, what? There's a lot out there already. So I just wanted to tell you some good news today. Some out of this world news. Woohoo! Woohoo! Yeah, I love it. In fact, let's just stop there and pray over the offering right now. Because that's a good thing to do, is pray over the offering after some stories like that. God, I thank you for every dollar that comes through this organization, through this church. God, I thank you that we get the awesome privilege to pass it on, that we don't have to hoard in a time of uncertainty. I'm so thankful that you are our peace, not our bank account. And so we don't have to hoard into our account to feel safe. We feel safe in you so we can pass it on to people who are in need. And so I pray a blessing over every dollar, every dime that comes into Oak River Church today and in the days to come. And I pray that you would give us wisdom how to dispense it with listening to your voice. Listening to your voice, God. And I'm thankful for the utility companies that we can pay our utilities. I'm serious. I am thankful for them. I pray a blessing over them. I'm just thankful for good service and for good care. And that we have so much to be thankful for. And so I bless this offering that will come in today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's crazy, but I learned to give thanks for utility companies. Because when you can't pay your bill, it's so stressful, and you find yourself wanting to curse utility companies. And God taught me to bless them every time I wrote a check to them. Seriously. Thank you, Lord, for the electric company. They provide a wonderful service. Thank you, Lord, for the gas company that keeps my home warm. It's a different way to look at it. Instead of, why do you need so much money? It's just a better way to look at it. So we bless them, right? So we're continuing our Out of This World today with a message I'm calling The Light. The Light. Out of this world, the light. Light came from out of this world into this world. God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? But today, of course, since it's so close to Christmas, we're going to talk about the light as it relates to Christmas. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we see the promise. The whole chapter is the promise of the coming Messiah. And we're only going to read verse 2 right now, where it says, now these people live in darkness. But it doesn't end there. Now these people live in darkness. This is from the International Children's Bible, by the way, because I just wanted to go there today. I like the International Children's Bible. Now those people live in darkness, but they will see a great light. They live in a place that is very dark, but a light will shine on them. Do you feel like we're living in darkness? I feel like this verse could be taken out and plopped right down into 2020, even though it was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Those people live in darkness, but they will see a great light. You see, the best thing about darkness is it shows us our need for light. Have you ever been driving? This might be a blonde Sandy moment. Even though it's bottle blonde, I still have blonde moments. But there have been times when I'll get into my car in a shopping plaza at night to go somewhere, and I'll forget to turn my lights on. Before the set it and forget it lights, I forget to turn my lights on because it's so light around me. But then I drive down the road a bit, and all of a sudden I'm like, why can't I see? Oh, because the lights aren't on. And then I turn on my lights, right? Darkness, whether it's in 2020 or hundreds of years ago when this was written, darkness has a way of showing us we need the light. Is that simple? And yet not. And so now we're going to switch over to Matthew 2. The first point of my message today is see the light. I almost made the point, search for the light, and then I was like, well, no, it's really not that. It's just a matter of seeing the light. It's not really a matter of searching. If it's dark and there's a light, you don't have to search for the light. You just see it, and it's there, right? See the light. In Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, we see the wise men, they're called in Scripture, the wise men. Says Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during a time when Herod was king. After Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They ask, where is the baby who was born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We came to worship him. Those of you who haven't heard, they're calling it the Bethlehem Star. Is that what they're calling it? That's supposed to be shown tomorrow night at... Now, somebody said tonight, but then somebody else said online it said tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Okay. Tomorrow night at around 5:30, if we don't have a bunch of cloud cover, you should actually be able to see a star that won't show itself again for over 800 years. Sorry? South or southwest of us, okay? Because it's two planets coming together and lining up in such a way that it looks like one star. Jack could tell you which planets. Saturn and Jupiter. He told me before service, and I'm not a science guy. And it's also winter solstice tomorrow. So I don't know. That's kind of cool. We get a chance to see that star, right? Whether it was the same one or not, between 5 and 5:30-ish. Is what I was told. Look it up online, Stephanie, to be sure, because don't trust me. My facts are not. So, but when the wise men saw a star, whether it was the same one or not the same one, doesn't matter to us. As much as what matters is they saw a star and they knew, they saw a light and they knew what it represented. They knew that it meant a king of the Jews was going to be born or had been born. Okay? So we're going to skip a few verses and I'm going to summarize for time's sake. After they came to Jerusalem, they started asking around, hey, where's the king of the Jews? Where's the king of the Jews? We saw his light and we know he's going to be born. Where is he? Well, scuttlebutt happened in Jerusalem and people were like, did you hear there's some weird guys here who looked nothing like us who were looking for the king of the Jews? And it got back to King Herod. And the problem was King Herod wasn't happy about that because he was named by the Roman government to be king of the Jews. So he was like, who's moving in on my territory? It's interesting to me, though, that King Herod didn't see the light. And he didn't even know what it meant. See, as king, as a Jewish king, most theologians say he was of Jewish descent, but he wasn't a good Jew. He was a nominal Jew. He didn't really follow the teachings of the scripture, and he didn't know the prophecies. So when he heard this, he was like, whoa. He was really upset. So he called a meeting of his spiritual advisors, and he's like, you got to tell me where's this king born, because I need to find out what's happening, right? And then they told him, well, this king is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So then King Herod secretly summoned the wise men back to himself, or to himself, and he said, hey, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Go and find him so I can worship him too. Yeah, right. That's not what he wanted, as we know from history. So now we're going to move over to verse 9. Matthew 2, verses 9 through 12. The wise men heard the king and then left. They saw the same star they had seen in the east. Now suddenly it shows up again. They didn't see it in Jerusalem, but as they start to go on their way, they see it again. I don't know. There's something there. It went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. I love that so much. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They went to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and worshiped the child. They opened the gifts they brought for him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went home to their own country by a different way. There's four things I want us to notice about seeing the light. First of all, light leads us to the Savior. In the darkness of 2020, look for the light and know that the light leads you to the Savior. Also notice that light brings joy. Light brings joy. Happy birthday, Shauna. Shauna brings me joy. She walks in light. She totally walks in light. Yeah. And exudes joy, whether she's playing the horn or just laughing. She exudes joy. Light births worship. When you see light and you're surrounded by darkness and you suddenly see light in the Savior, you get overwhelmed. Nobody has to tell you to sing. Nobody has to tell you to worship. Because when you're in awe of the light, worship comes bursting out of you. The wise men, I don't believe they were like, we have to go and worship. I think when they saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed. Some translations say they fell down. Not that they bowed down, but they fell down and worshiped. I don't know which one it was, but I believe light births worship. And then light also warns us of danger. We see that God warned them not to go back to Herod. Light has a way of warning us of danger too. If I follow the dark, I'm in trouble. It's been proven to me over and over again through my life, but especially in 2020. When I start chasing the dark, I get further and further into darkness. But when I chase the light, it leads me to Jesus, and it brings joy, it brings peace, it brings hope, it warns me of danger. So we have to ask ourselves, what kept Herod from seeing the light? What kept Herod from seeing the light? These are just my thoughts. It's not in scripture. But I think he didn't want to give up control. I think he didn't want anything to change. And I don't think he comprehended how dark it was, because his life was good. I think maybe at the end of 2019, many of us would have been like Herod. Truthfully, we had a decent life. Things were going along just fine. We were well fed. We might not have everything we wanted, but we had most of what we needed, right? And so it's hard when you're in the light to recognize what you need. But when darkness comes, when things happen that are out of your control, suddenly you go, whoa, you just become aware of the darkness, don't you? The wise men had studied the prophecies of old, and they knew what the light meant. And I think this Christmas is so sacred to me. It's so special to me. It's so special to me. I don't feel like it's less than. I feel like it's more than. Because we've learned some stuff in 2020. And because of that, we value light like never before. And we also recognize false sources of light. I also love that I've pointed out before that the wise men were willing to travel by foot. 2 to 5 months is what most theologians say. 2 to 5 months. I don't even like camping. I'll glamp, but I don't want to camp. Yeah. And I like glamping mostly at the Holiday Inn or, you know, something like that. But they were willing to actually camp for 2 to 5 months because the light had such value to them. They were willing to go for it. So that brings us to our second point, follow the light. Follow the light. Now we're going to go back to Isaiah where we started, where it talks about what would happen when Jesus would come. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, because there's a very good chance the wise men had read this passage. There's a very good chance they knew this passage. Herod didn't, but they did. Oh, the irony. That's ironic. Verses 6 and 7 says, a child will be born to us. Some of you might know this from the song, for unto us a child is born. I sang that in college. Yeah. A child will be born to us. God will give a son to us. He will be responsible for leading the people. Another translation that's not the International Children's Bible says, the government will be on his shoulder. Not shoulders. Shoulder. Which I kind of like. He doesn't even need both shoulders. I like that. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. Power and peace don't usually go together, but power and peace will be in his kingdom. It will continue to grow. Some translations say there will be no end to the increase, right? He will rule as king on David's throne and over David's kingdom. He will make it strong by ruling with goodness and fair judgment. He will rule it forever and ever. The Lord of heaven's armies will do this because of his strong love for his people. When we follow the light, this is what we find, that Jesus is responsible for the government. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Like, really? Because I think 2020 has also taught, I think we've learned it before 2020, but it's just really made it clear that our government is not very good at being our government, no matter what side it is. It's a mess, right? I don't think God ever created us to have people ruling over us. I think he always created us to have him as our government. And when we live by his government, we don't need to be governed by man. Look it up in the Old Testament. There wasn't a king until the people said, we want to be like the countries around us, so we have a king. We want to be like them. Well, it's not working out so well. But Jesus carries our government on his shoulder. Point B, Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Where are we getting our counsel? Where are we getting it? If we're getting it from any other source than Jesus, it's not so wonderful. Might seem wonderful in the moment, but it's not when it's all said and done. Jesus is powerful. Where do we look for power? I think some of us look for power with influence. Some of us look for power with money. Some of us look for power with things. Some of us look for power in other ways. Jesus is our powerful leader. He's full of power. Point D, Jesus is our Father who lives forever. Now, this seems weird to me because how can he be a son and a father at the same time? You think of a son as being a baby, right? And yet he's the Father who lives forever too. Wow, I love that. Point E, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Woo, I celebrate that. Jesus is the giver of our peace, and he is the one who maintains our peace. That's one of the wins of 2020 to me, is we've become more aware of that than ever before. Jesus gives our peace. Jesus maintains our peace. And then point F, Jesus rules with goodness and fair judgment. He's not a tyrant. He doesn't demand his way. It's so opposite of what we've grown accustomed to. He is not egocentric. He is not a narcissist. It's not like that. He rules with goodness and fair judgment, and there's no end to the increase of his government. I love that his kingdom, it's tried to be stamped out. I got frustrated this week, and it's a small thing, but I was on Facebook, and I saw that they provide backgrounds that are Hanukkah-themed. I celebrate that. That's great. I celebrate that. So I started looking for the Christmas themes. Nope, not one. All, like five different Hanukkah backgrounds you could choose from, but not one. And I started feeling myself getting a little irritated. I was like, Facebook can't stop the increase of his kingdom. They might try. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's sinister and sometimes I think it's just ignorance. But whichever it is, there's no end to the increase of his government. There's no end to the increase of his kingdom. Because he rules with goodness and fairness, it just naturally grows. It grows. But don't skip over that last verse. Let's go back and read that again. You don't have to go back to it. I'll just read it. The Lord of heaven's armies will do this. Why? Because of his strong love for his people. He will send a son that will be the light, that will show us the way, that will carry the government, that will rule with goodness and fairness. Why will he do all this? Because he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Man, I wish they'd stop talking about that. That's all that church ever talks about. Get used to it. I need the reminder. Do you? If you're feeling the darkness today, if you're seeing that we need some change, then you are in the exact right place to see the light. You have driven out of the parking lot and you've driven down the road and you're like, whoa, it's dark. And Jesus says, see the light, follow the light. See the light, follow the light. Because the light leads us to the Savior. The light brings joy. The light births worship. There will come a day at Oak River where it doesn't take two songs for us to warm up to worship. There will come a day where we come in and we are so in awe of the light that the first note that is played, even in the pre-service video, we are erupting in worship because it's just pouring out of us from coming into contact with the light. Light brings joy. We might have laughter break out once in a while. Fair warning. Holy, holy laughter. Light births worship. Light warns us of danger. I believe that. So follow the light. Jesus is our leader. He is our wonderful counselor. He is powerful. He is the Father who lives forever. He is our Prince of Peace, and he rules with goodness and fair judgment. But remember why God sent the light. Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I feel like I want to just partner with the angels who said to the shepherds in the field, rejoice. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. We started with good news. We're ending with good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. A Savior is born. A Savior is born. Yes, come, O come, Emmanuel. Wait, Emmanuel is here. God with us. God is with us. We are not alone. I'm thankful for that, right? Are you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Yeah, I am. So, thank you for joining us today. Remember that we have Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve, at 7 p.m. It will be a 7 to 8 p.m. service. It will be no longer than an hour. Sometimes we end a little under an hour. But if you can make us part of your Christmas celebration, that would be great. Merry Christmas. I want to tell you, if I'm not going to see you again, Merry Christmas. Listen, don't let the fact that Christmas looks so different this year keep you from celebrating Christmas. In fact, in some ways, if the holiday looks far different than you've ever experienced, it's an opportunity for you to appreciate the light like never before. So find a way to see the light and follow the light no matter what your holiday looks like this time. And I know it's hard to give up traditions. I get it. Believe me, I get it. But find a way to see the light and follow the light. Next week, we're going to have a fun message. We're going to conclude the series Out of This World with a message I'm calling The Winds of 2020. It's going to be fun. The Winds of 2020, not the Winds, W-I-N-D-S, the Winds, W-I-N-S. Take the D out. The Winds of 2020, because I think there have actually been some. So homework between now and Sunday is thinking about some of the winds in your own life in 2020, okay? Love you guys. Let me pray. Thank you, God, for bringing the light to us. Thank you that we don't have to live in darkness, that we can actually see the light and follow the light. No matter what circumstances are around us, we can do that, and I'm so thankful. Bless these people, I pray. Bless them. Every single person who's listening online or who's here in the building, I pray a blessing over every single person. That they will see the light this year like never before. That 2020 will not go down in history in their own lives or in my own life as a year of nothing but trouble, but that we would actually come to see the winds of 2020 because of your light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Merry Christmas.